That's it. So, can you tell me who you are, just for the camera?
Yep, my name's Alistair Baker, and I'm the Managing Director of Microsoft here in the United Kingdom.
That's great. So what we're going to do today, I'd like to get you to cut a nugget.
Cut a nugget. Okay. Is it painful, or how's that going to work for us?
So, let me just go through a little bit about what a nugget is. So nuggets are really meant to be a very short, very direct piece of information, no slides. Getting down to what it is developers want to know about, and it's really touching on the pain points that developers see today. So, you know, if you're a developer, you don't have the time to sit and watch a webcast.
So no time wasting, to the point, right, just get it. straight into it, perfect.
Right, so I understand you might have a bit more history than just being an MD of Microsoft.
I'd hope so. I'd hope there was life before my current job.
So what happened before?
Well, in terms of my career, I worked for IBM for a few years, I worked for Hewlett Packard, I worked for Microsoft for 10 years in Scotland, around services, small and medium business.
When was the last time you wrote a piece of code?
Oh, the last time I actually did any coding of any type was writing some JCL for one of the guys here about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
They were trying to integrate some of our technology into a mainframe application and needed to start up some batch jobs on the mainframe. And this email came out saying, does anybody know how to write JCL? And I went back as the head of service and said, yeah, I used to do that quite a lot when I worked for IBM. So, yeah, and before that, you know, usual coding through my computer science degree, so COBOL, Pascal, BASIC, none of the visual stuff, that hadn't happened before.
Have you fired up Visual Studio before?
Once, I think, yeah, and probably shut it down very quickly after that.
All right, so I'm going to call upon your programming skills. It's not going to be too strenuous,
give it a go.
So I've chosen to, we're going to use some devices. So I've got a couple of devices here.
Okay.
And what we're going to show is how to use a particular API, a new API, on the Windows Mobile 5 platform, which actually makes it a lot better for developers when they want to integrate tightly with the device. It's a major step forward from Visual Studio 2005 and Windows Mobile 5. So I probably ought to give you a bit of background about what that feature is before you write it, because you need to have credibility when you actually
write
this nugget.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to disappoint the audience.
Absolutely. So that's very important.
Otherwise, yeah. So hit me with it then. What have I got to know?
So state notification broker. I'm going to do a little bit of thing here. So the problem you've got right now is you've got lots of different sources of information on a mobile device. You've got some information in the registry, some information in applications, and some information which sometimes is hidden on the device itself. Things like signal strength, battery power, various different things.
So all the operating system type things.
That sort of thing. Now, that's quite interesting to a mobile developer when they actually want to make use of the device itself. So you've got your customer's app over here, and what they have to do now is they have to write some code to go into each of these different pools to bring those things together. So what we're going to look at is a new feature which is called State Notification Broker, which sits in here and actually allows the application to go to the State Notify Broker, and it simply fronts the registry to provide you with a way of querying all of these state information, including some of the hidden stuff, and also will allow you to push information to the device. So rather than polling, you can simply say, you know, tell me when something changes. And it's very, very simple. It's like three lines of code to do it. So I'm going to get you to write a piece of code which shows how to query information for the signal strength of the device. I'm then going to get you to write a piece of code which says, okay, don't just query, tell me when it changes. So the signal strength is one of 100 different ways you can pull information off here.
Right.
And it's quite an important one because people want to know when they're calling a web service, you know, going outside the device, when they can actually do that.
So
it's quite key.
So will it queue it and then wait until the signal comes back and then fire off the
You can do
query?
That in your app. So the whole idea of this particular
that's cool.
state is that you can actually find out what's going on. Right. So that's basically that piece. The next piece I need to tell you how we cut the nugget or how we write the nugget. So
right.
Let's spin around and talk at the computer.
So am I in charge?
You will be in a very few minutes. So what I've got here is a slide deck with a picture which we dug out. It took us ages to find this picture of you, but we've got quite an interesting one. I do need to ask you, when we put in the...
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay, if there's some queries, then
so
send them through.
We've literally got two slides. Well, there's a third one here. The first one is for you to introduce the subject. So hopefully your understanding of that. If you've got any questions, I can answer those and make sure you're comfortable with the State Notify Broker. I'll show you the code in a minute and we'll see it running.
Right.
And then I want you to write that code. Okay. And it's not going to be a case of making it up. I've got some script for you to do that.
Okay.
So the first thing is we'll actually record this and some words from you. And then we're going to go into Visual Studio and I'll take you through how we can create that project and how you're going to write that code. And then once we've done that, we'll come back into here, and we'll record a summary which tells you, you know, four statements there, so we're comfortable about, you know, summarizing the slide, and a few extra resources, including a Channel 9 link there, so people know where they can get the information. Okay, relatively straightforward. Now the way this works, headset there, so we'll throw that on, and what we will do is use a product called Camtasia Recorder to actually record this information.
So am I just reading this out then? Is that the plan?
It won't be reading out. No, I need you to actually make it up. Now, I'll give you some words or some idea of what to say in just a bit, but I want you really to, you know, it's got to be real, so you've got to understand what you're doing.
Okay.
Before we can go into it. So the application itself is one I wrote earlier. I'll give you some idea of what it is. Actually, let's go for recent projects. Here's one I wrote earlier. It's very straightforward to do, and I'll take you through it in a second. So what we've got is a simple form here, which has a label, a text box, and when we run that on the device, and I've got a little tool here which gives us a remote screen so we can see what's going on.
Okay.
I can run that application up on here. This is the one I wrote earlier. Let's just do that. So you can see right now it's pulling the signal strength in. Now this is where the props are required. The trouble is this building is so good for signal strength, you can't get rid of it.
So you need to pop it in the tin.
I've been everywhere to look for my Faraday cage. I've now got one. I'll pop it in the tin and then we'll see the signal strength tail off and die as the device picks it up. Sometimes it takes a few seconds. There we go. And also I've got a notification coming here that there's actually a low signal strength as well. And that's quite important because obviously in that situation you wouldn't start firing off web requests. So, how much of a challenge will that be for you?
What, to talk about that?
To do that.
It's going to be interesting, so okay. We'll give it a go. Hi, my name's Alistair Baker and I'm the Managing Director for Microsoft here in the UK. Yeah. Certainly with that.
Okay, so it usually takes us about 10 takes to get one of these ourselves.
Right.
So don't be afraid to stop and do it again if you need to, alright? And where you start is F9, count to 3 before you get going.
Hello, my name is Alistair Baker. I'm the Managing Director for Microsoft here in the UK. And this Windows Mobile Nugget is going to talk to you about the State and Notification Broker, which is a new module that's available under Mobile 5 to help interrogate a device of its system services on things like battery power, signal strength, etc., and will enable us to write much richer applications for the client in order to understand what's happening on the device.
Right, so that's our first cut. Now the next thing I will do is we'll switch across.
Was that right, by the way?
That's absolutely bang on. Okay. This is as real as it gets. So, you know, I make a load of bugs and mistakes in this. That was good. That was good quality, and we're ready to go. So the next thing I'd like you to do is say, okay, what we'll do is switch over to Visual Studio and actually go and do that. Switch to Visual Studio here, and then just go File.
So this is 2005.
This is 2005. Yeah. File New Project.
So File New Project.
So device application. Project, device application, and then we'll hit the OK button.
Okay.
That's fine. It takes a few seconds to
go. Right, so here we have the form.
So
device
if you want to
form.
Run on, let me show you that bit.
And what's this called, a project?
I need to explain how this works. So the libraries we're going to use, you actually have to reference a specific extra library, it's like linking in an extra module.
Sure.
And we do that through the Solution Explorer area here. So if you can, there's a references section. Right click on the references section, add reference. And there are two we need to bring in. If you click on Windows Mobile and click the control key and the status one, sorry, not shift. If you go for mobile and status, down one, there you go, and then click OK. That brings those two in.
So that's class libraries being brought in, is
exactly
it?
Exactly right. So we can now reference those inside of our code.
Has Matthew done one of these? Has he just stitched me up like a kipper?
Is it all right?
No, it's fine. No, I'm enjoying it. It's good. Yeah.
Let me come back. Where do we get to?
We should be back on the form. Then we've got to do the old.
Let me come back here. We need to go into.
So double click on here. And now I need to get the name of the label in, which I included earlier on, which is called signal strength dot, and that's a text, equals, remembering to preserve the uppercase on system state. And here we have the option to actually include that library that we included earlier on, dot phone signal strength. There you go, it's now picked that up. Double click on that. So I better do that again.
Okay.
So it's dot two string.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's a...
So that comes back as a numeric. So
numeric.
The phone signal strength is one of the properties, but that comes back numerical.
So I've then got to translate it to a string.
Right, because this is a string here.
Yeah.
The label dot text is the value that's being displayed.
So this line of code, it really represents what the new capability is. So we're saying we want to pull from the system state functionality one of over 100 variables, which is phone signal strength, which we all know about when our mobile phones go wonky, when we lose the signal when driving around. And because that's a numeric value, we need to then translate that into a string, which then can be presented back into the form.
Awesome. That's
really good. To go after here.
So just it's this one here.
Okay.
So that's actually the end of the function. It's quite interesting because you actually put a function inside of a bracket here.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's oh, sorry. There you go.
Very interesting sort of stuff. I'm sure it's great.
Line of sinker.
So just to show that even a managing director doesn't always get their code 100% correct, we've actually got a bug in this application. So we're now going to double click on that, and it'll take us to the appropriate line where the issue is. And we now go and look at the actual application. And you can see it's deploying it onto the actual device itself. So here we have the current signal strength, and you can see it moving around based on the level of strength that we have available in the office. Now, one of the things we have here is a Faraday cage, which is actually a Fox's Speciality 12 variety biscuit tin that we're going to use to actually replicate or reproduce the signal dropping. So I'm now going to put the device in the box, close the lid, dropping between 74, so it hasn't triggered the threshold yet. And there we go, it drops down to 46, and the warning signal strength low warning comes up on the screen. So in summary, we now have a single mechanism for system state, and what that's showing you is the ability to actually have the application get trigger points from the device in order to understand what's happening on the device, and therefore build a richer set of capability and a better experience for the end user. And of course, channel 9 at channel9.msdn.com. So thanks very much for listening. I hope this has been of use to you, and I look forward to building my next application sometime soon. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Okay.
That was great. How painful was that?
That's all right. Good guidance.
I wouldn't mind if you can spare us a few more minutes. I'm going to go and quiz you on a few things.
Right.
Just so we've got something for the channel 9 material.
Yeah, perfect.
So how was that?
That was a lot of fun, actually. One of the things that I found amazing about it was just actually how little code you had to write in order to do what must be an incredibly complex set of programming if you're having to do that from the outset. So God knows how much time you save compared to having to write that from the ground up and having the expertise. So
well, you couldn't do that in the last version. That's new. In fact, Visual Studio 2005 experience is actually pretty cool. You were involved in launch yesterday, weren't you?
I was, yes. It was great, actually. The buzz in Birmingham was fantastic. We made a very good call going into Birmingham, having a big scale event. There must have been about 2,000 people there, different tracks running, and it was great. So just to see people coming to a very big event and being very buzzed about something we're bringing to market was very much reminiscent of the old days when we did the big product launches. So it was a really, really good session.
So, I mean, Visual Studio 2005, SQL Server 2005, I mean, they're massive products, and we've been working on what, 5 years, I guess, so maybe a little bit less, 4 years.
Yeah, Steve Ballmer stood up on stage and said it's been a long time coming, maybe a bit too long in the time, but when you think about the importance of getting it right and getting the right amount of functionality, then one of the criticisms we often get from enterprises is that we release software too frequently, too many releases. So they can't complain about this one. But what we can kind of guarantee is that the quality and resilience and capability of that technology is going to be way higher than anything we've shipped before. It's the biggest launch in servers history. And I think it really transforms Microsoft from being a wannabe in the enterprise mission critical space to being really in a position whereby we can go head to head with anything that's out there, including the IBMs, the Oracles, the Suns, and of course at a price point, a functionality point, and an overall value point that our competition are going to have a really tough time with.
So, I mean, you've seen the products, we've played a bit with it there. I know you're not a dev day by day, but for you, what's the coolest feature you've seen on VS, in Visual Studio, for developers?
Okay, so outside of that one where I actually wrote my own application with a bit of help from you, the reality is it's the productivity. So you think about the importance to the business of either being first to market or having to follow a competitor that's done something that's been innovative in their marketplace. The fact you can actually cut time, improve developer productivity, improve the quality of the application you're writing, will give our customers, those customers who are really placing a bet on our platform, the opportunity to outpace their competition and drive more productivity in their business. So that to me is the real benefit from a business perspective.
So what about Team System? I mean, for me that's quite a cool package.
The beauty of Team System is that when you actually look at the marketplace for the overall lifecycle management play, then it really polarizes between stuff that's very niche and stuff that's very high-end, with Rational and IBM's ownership of that. So the examples we've heard of where Team Services is really adding a lot of value, we're into those organizations that are looking for greater agility about architecting, developing, testing the application and using that framework in order to wrap a methodology around that. So I think it's going to have very broad appeal to a much wider set of customers than the products in the marketplace today.
That's quite interesting. So one of the things we're seeing grow quite a lot is like string programming. I mean, especially with the mobile stuff, people tend to be very small groups.
Yeah.
Tend to be moving very, very quickly. Does it fit? I mean, does the Team System fit with Agile? What's the story?
Yes, well, my understanding, having met some of our partners who are really specialized in this area, is that they're actually writing methodology and plugins in order to wrap the methodology, extreme methodologies around the VSTS capabilities. So you're going to have the best of both worlds. You're going to have a great set of tools in order to drive comprehensive integrated development methodologies or development capability, as well as having the methodology wrapping around that to help guide and make sure that what you actually produce is what you believe you're going to produce at the outset of the project.
Okay. So that's VS today. Now, what we do in development platform is we obviously now not close the book on VS, but we're looking at what's next. And I think developers are quite interested in the next step from Microsoft. We've got the technology which we've finally released, which is really good news, and that's going to give a lot more benefit to the developers for tomorrow. What about the day after that? What's next? Where are we going from Microsoft's perspective? What's the plan for the developers? Innovating, we're still moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. We will spend over $7 billion this year on research and development. And a large amount of that is on the data systems product. So it's on SQL 2005, BizTalk 2006, Visual Studio 2005, and all the server technologies that wrap around that. Of course, Windows Server 2003, R2 is coming out very soon as well. So they actually represent a large amount of the R&D spend. These services and server capabilities are only ever as good as the applications that you have to put on top of those. So that's what the business needs in order to support the capability beyond things like email and collaboration with SharePoint. And so we will continue to invest and innovate around Visual Studio in a very big way. And the capability of driving richer function, of driving shortening of development cycles, so how everything integrates into the VSTS capability, is something that we believe going forward is going to be integral to providing more and more value to the developer, and how the developers and the architects and the people who actually have to worry about running the service can add more value to their business customers, whether it's internal customers or, of course, customers out on the internet as these new channels open up.
So what should our devs look for next year? What's coming up next year?
Well, I mean, clearly we've made a very big launch in this, so we're going to drive the launch activity and then a sustain. So I think you've seen a pretty good set of announcements from us over over the past few days, and that's really the focus for us, is to making sure that we get that in the hands of as many people as possible who can benefit from that. The development teams have already started on thinking about the next generation of capability, but I think we have enough on our hands to provide the developers and add a lot of value to businesses through what we've delivered.
A couple of other questions then. What device do you use?
I'm actually a smartphone user, and I have to. I do. Yes, I have it here. So I've just got a text message from someone. Sure.
Oh my goodness, it's well beaten up.
It's well beaten up. It's been dropped many times, and it kind of goes with me wherever I am.
So how important is devices to Microsoft? Microsoft UK. I mean, we're interested in that. It's obviously from the UK.
Yeah.
But, is that important for us?
It's very important. The need to have information on the go. I mean, I'm a busy guy. You're a busy guy. You know, lots of people. Everybody's busy these days. There's no such thing as somebody who really has idle time in their hands in business. And therefore, being able to get access to vital business information on the move, having a reliable, secure platform that you can deploy mobile applications, whether it's email or calendaring around the personal productivity side, or indeed the next generation of applications now starting to be delivered into our customers and into Microsoft, where you actually have a line of business application on your phone as well. So they're an incredibly important part of how businesses can take advantage of what's available out there in terms of broadband capability on 3G and 2.5G. So it really is about the convergence and having the appropriate platform, the development tools, and the infrastructure in order to get those applications in the hands of people who can really benefit from them.
Okay. So I'm going to change tack a little bit. I'm interested. You've been through quite a history, both at Microsoft and previously. What's it like being MD of Microsoft UK? Is it pressured?
It's a tough job in a number of different ways. It's I'm not somebody who gets off on the title. I do a job, and I've done a variety of jobs in the company, all of which I've enjoyed a lot, and this role is no different.
Do you get to sleep?
Planes I can't sleep on. So no, I'm a pretty good sleeper. I don't need a lot of sleep.
So what do you do for kids now?
Well, I play the guitar, not particularly well, but that's a great way of completely getting your mind off work. I'll snowboard in the winter, try and get some snowboarding in.
So I swim as well?
Well, yes, I can swim. I used to swim quite well when I was younger. And
so
I got
lake?
Yeah, out there. Yes, I ended up in the lake through a bet.
What was that all about?
Well, basically, in fact, my finance director had a bet with one of his employees that she couldn't get a forecasting number right. She did. He then decided he was going to renege on it, so I sent a mail to the whole company trying to egg my finance director, Paul Hart, on to go and do it. So he then said he would do it if I did it. So, of course, we all ended up in the drink and raised about £5,000 for charity. No, actually, it was about 70 degrees. The summer sun had been on it pretty much all year. It was in all summer. It was in September, beginning of September. So, no, it was actually very warm, just a bit of algae floating around.
Oh,
so. And of course, we had everybody in their dogs saying don't do it. The company doctor said don't do it. Thames Water said don't do it. Health and Safety said don't do it. But we thought it was for a great cause, so we went in.
Well, I just want to know whether Paul sank this
way. No, he was sinking. He was swimming, actually. We had one person I thought was going to sink.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had a wetsuit on, and so I was a bit concerned about them. So
well, at least the financial director can float the books and float the.
Absolutely, float yeah. Good point.
That's the best thing. Okay, well, I think that's probably all from us today. I know you're a busy guy, so you're probably to get off. But I just want to say thanks ever so much.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Hope you've enjoyed it.
And thanks for your help on the application.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Cheers.
Bye.